There's been a big settlement against the maker of the rifle used by the Sandy Hook Elementary shooter in 2012. That attack killed 20 first graders and 6 adults. Under the deal, Remington Arms will pay $73 million and release some internal marketing documents. Josh Koskoff represents the 9 families suing the gun maker.
This case was never about damages in the sense of compensation. It was about damages in the sense of forcing change. It was about damages in the sense of realizing the goals of these families to do whatever they can to help prevent the next Sandy Hook.
Mark Barden was one of the plaintiffs in this case. He lost his son Daniel, a first grader at Sandy Hook Elementary. Barden is co-founder of Sandy Hook Promise, a nonprofit dedicated to preventing gun violence. We reached him in his car, and I asked him for his reaction to the settlement, which has been years in the making.
Yeah, it has been many years, and we were prepared to go for as many years as it takes, because we really wanted change. We wanted accountability. We wanted the manufacturers to have to employ responsible and safe marketing protocols like any other manufacturer would. And if you're manufacturing the single most lethal consumer product that there is, I think if anything, you should be subject to stricter safety protocols. And we found that they were doing just the opposite. And we wanted to hold them accountable for that. And we wanted to expose their advertising and marketing practices.
How did this big settlement come about? I mean, what leverage did your side have to extract $73 million and also get inside documents made public?
Well, so as I think you heard our attorney, Josh Koskoff, articulate, the amount was more about ensuring that the banks and the insurance companies who are propping up these manufacturers are forced to have to feel this and to have to reckon with it and have to respond in a meaningful way. But for us, it's not about the dollars. It's about the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm asking if you can tell us a little bit about the leverage you think your side had. This gun maker seemed to give up a lot.
True, but I think what that tells us, Scott, is that the insurance companies, their insurance companies, were looking at the same evidence. They were looking at the same documents. They were looking at the same emails. They were looking at the policies, the protocols that Remington was using in their marketing practices. And obviously, they agreed that this was wrong. Obviously, Remington knows that they were wrong. That they were reckless. They were dangerous in their marketing and advertising, and that they agreed to this. That I think is evidence of that. And they know that this is going to be made public. That the evidence that was collected during discovery will be shared with the public, so that folks know, as they should, about these dangerous and reckless advertising and marketing strategies.
And why was it so important to make these documents public? I remember covering the big tobacco settlement, and having the public see the internal documents was a big turning point. Did you and your group think about kind of the same question in this case?
That's a very relevant question, Scott, because that was exactly the catalyst for this. And I'll share the story with you. My wife Jackie is a school teacher, elementary school teacher, and in 2011, the year before this tragedy, she was working with her class and talking about the tobacco industry and talking about the reckless advertising campaign where they're targeting children knowingly. And so this was fresh in her mind, and she started wondering you could call him a kid. He was, 20. How did this individual have access?
The shooter.
To a combat rifle with high capacity magazines. And so she started looking it up. She just did random search on the internet and stumbled, literally just kind of came across advertising messaging, imaging, and language from Remington with "Get your man card here. Forces of opposition bow down. You are single-handedly outnumbered," with a picture of a lone gunman, the next best thing to being in the military. And she just thought, This is very similar to the you know, the awful, reckless advertising campaigns that the tobacco industry waged.
Mm-hmm. Mark, finally, can I ask how this has been for you personally? Your son Daniel would be 15 or 16 this year. As it happens, we have a Daniel in our family, and he is 16. And I cannot imagine the grief. I cannot imagine the long fight that you have been a part of. I guess if and when you get a private moment to think about where you and your family are, what's it like?
It's a constant day by day, and I imagine it always will be, Scott. Daniel was a light of compassion, of joy in our home and everywhere he went. He was always the first one to help out a classmate. He was always the first one to help out a teacher. He had a very developed sense of awareness and compassion for anyone, but especially for a seven-year-old.
Mark Barden lost his first grader, Daniel, at the Sandy Hook Elementary shooting. He's the co-founder of Sandy Hook Promise, a nonprofit dedicated to preventing gun violence. Mark, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate it.